Musings of a Geek, where we discuss geek culture from the belly of the beast once a week. I'm Dan Sisko, coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm so excited. We just drove through the desert from San Diego. With me are...
We drove from the desert through the desert to arrive at the desert.
We've pretty much been in the desert the whole time. With me are my co-hosts and two very good friends, William.
Oi, oi.
Hi, and Dez.
Hello.
And this week we have a special guest rounding out our foursome for our debaucherous Vegas weekend is our friend Ed. Say hi, Ed.
Hey, everybody.
Ed, how are you?
Not too bad. Excited because we're in Vegas, and Vegas is always awesome no matter what.
Yeah.
I love that enthusiasm.
This is not the 80s.
Yeah.
I don't know if Vegas is always awesome or if Vegas is just like pizza and everybody knows even bad pizza
even
is still
bad
pizza.
Is good. I'm
sure Vegas is routinely terrible for some people.
I have had some Vegas.
Well, none of us are gambling addicts.
I have had a bad Vegas trip.
Ed,
which I'm
maybe.
Sure we'll talk about. Ed, are you a
gambling addict?
Are you a gambling addict?
No, actually, I love games, but somehow I do manage to curb it.
Get in on the microphone, dude. It's like you're going down on the microphone, man. Like, love the microphone.
All right,
there
all
you
right.
go. If you need to pick it up, man.
That might actually.
There
be
you
easy.
Go. Pick it up. All right, cool.
So I love games. I love playing all sorts of games. When it comes to gambling, when it involves money, somehow I actually manage to keep myself pretty safe.
Pretty safe.
The thing is, I don't think any of us are gambling addicts, because if we were, we wouldn't have made it up here to the podcast before playing any games at all when we could be doing this at
That's
home.
That's right. We drove in and came upstairs, and the first thing I did is I opened up the bottle of Jack Daniels and set up the podcasting equipment.
So by your logic, we may not be gambling addicts, but we may be alcoholics.
We may, yes.
Because we began drinking before we started podcasting.
That
definitely is the case. Ed, you're not drinking. Do you want something?
Yes,
actually.
Well, then we've got stuff. Pour yourself some. Find something and drink.
While Dan tries to come up
with something.
We've got a
nutritious meal here set up on the table of tequila pistachios, beef jerky, and Jack Daniels.
Don't forget, whiskey jerky.
Whiskey jerky, yeah. Whiskey,
whiskey jerky.
We have been to the Alien Jerky.
Alien Fresh Jerky, which our listeners should know about. I think we've already discussed
episode
it
like,
on the podcast.
Yeah, episode 2 or 3. We stopped at Alien Fresh Jerky. I ran into a girl that I did a show with in San Diego randomly there. And we got jerky and tequila pistachios. This week on Musings of a Geek is going to be a little bit different. It's kind of a theme show because we're in Vegas and we tend to geek out about Vegas. I thought we'd discuss Vegas. I thought we'd discuss what we like about Vegas, why we come to Vegas, Vegas stories.
We tend to geek out about Vegas.
I tend to geek out about Vegas.
Yeah.
I fucking love Vegas.
That's an accurate statement.
I fucking love this place, man. This is an awesome place. This is a place where dreams come true, Dez. What's wrong with you?
You need to get different dreams.
So it's the opposite of Godzilla.
So...
Oh, wait, no, he doesn't destroy dreams, he destroys cities. I got it wrong. I'm sorry.
Hangover reference in sorry, Vegas. There you go. Godzilla destroys cities. So I guess I'm going to start out and throw this out there. What does everybody love about Vegas? Dez, what do you love about Vegas? Why do you come to Vegas?
Because you want to come to Vegas.
That is not why
and
you come to Vegas.
He loves your enthusiasm for
you're,
Vegas.
You're my best friend. I love you to pieces. I'd be just as happy taking a golf weekend somewhere if it meant we just got to get out of town, get away from... certain people's wives. Not there's anything wrong with your wives. But it's nice to have a weekend without the girls being kind of part of the party.
See, I agree. I think a boys' weekend, you need to do this like once a year. Just have a guys' weekend and you go somewhere. And, you know, I like Vegas because it's everything that is. I love debaucherousness. I love gambling. I love drinking. I love smoking. I love naked women. And that Vegas has all of those.
Remember how a little while ago he was talking about how he shouldn't be so honest on the podcast because people might get aggrandized version of him as this smoking, drinking, alcoholic, crazy person?
I'm not an alcoholic, and I don't smoke a whole heck of a lot anymore. I don't smoke nearly as much as I used to, and I see my wife naked, which is cool. So, but this is like all of that, but heightened. It's awesome.
Okay. No, I like blackjack. I like playing blackjack. But I probably would have been just as happy if we'd gone anywhere for a weekend. You really like Vegas, Dan.
I do.
You
really
do
like Vegas.
Every day for the people in your life that you care about. And this is one of the things I do for you. I come
and
here.
I appreciate that.
Where it's not that I dislike Vegas, but there is a cost I dislike about Vegas. And that's how my skin feels.
After Vegas.
For a week after Vegas because of just how much smoke gets in your goddamn pores.
It's very, very true. Go ahead.
So you're saying you'd be happy going anywhere for the weekend. Would you be happy if we did like a weekend flight out to Billings, Montana for like the opening of a Native American pottery museum?
Sure, I probably have.
But like not to
I'd
actually
have family
see the museum,
there.
Just for the ribbon cutting.
Just No, we're going to go and watch them cut the ribbon, but we're not going to go in.
Oh, yeah. No, no, we're only here for the ceremony.
We're only here for the ceremony.
We have to catch a plane
we're
back
like the
home.
We're like the four weird guys who don't belong. We're just there. Like, oh, no, we read about this on the internet. It's totally cool.
Yeah,
yeah. It's fine.
It's a new hipster thing.
But I'd be just as happy if we went and did a con somewhere.
Sure.
I had fun that time. We went to the Long Beach Comic Con, even though the Long Beach Comic Con ended up being a three-hour experience. Does that sound about right?
A three-hour tour.
I was going to say it. I was going to say. You know what? I think Dez and Ed, you've actually got this down, holding the microphone, because it's much more comfortable that way.
It's because the table is too far away.
It
and
is.
The chairs are too low.
It is. We're not in our usual setup, but that's okay. That's all right. You know, and when I found out you liked blackjack, was one of the happiest days of my life, because I like blackjack, and Will likes blackjack.
I love math.
There you go. All right, Will. What's the attraction here for Vegas for you?
Oh, it was funny you were asking that, and I was like, I don't know if I can articulate anything words, but what I noticed is
he's just happy I took so much time answering, so it gave him time to think about it.
Yeah, right.
And so we're coming up on Ed next, so he's going to be on the spot.
But what struck me is when we first walked into the hotel for the first time, and just getting that the smell and the sounds and the girl who walks by in the tacky as fuck leopard print fedora. And
that's that, right, you mentioned it.
Las Vegas is full of so much like fun at the same time that it's in some ways so sad and tacky. It has an appeal that you can only find
here.
It's like being drunk and being hungover at the same time.
America's playground. That is a really good analogy. Drunk and hungover at the same time.
Yeah.
Or straight and on a hallucinogen at the same moment.
Yes.
It's something very, very strange where I walk in and I think, there's nothing about this that seems like it should be appealing, but you only find it here, and you only run into it ever so often, and I enjoy that.
And I'm totally with you about that, my friend. I'm totally with you, and that's one of the reasons why we stay downtown. The first time we stayed downtown was, before I get to Ed, the first time we stayed downtown is I don't usually stay downtown, and if you remember, the last time the four of us came, I actually moved us hotels down to the Strip.
Right.
But the first time we were going to do this, it was Des, Nate, and I, and I was out of work at the time. And Des wanted to put a guy trip together. And, you know, my wife is always watching the funds. And she was like, how can you even remotely afford this? And, you know, I talked to Des. I'm like, I don't know if I can afford this, man. He's like, no, I got this. We're going to stay at the El Cortez downtown. And it's like $17 a night. I'll totally pay for the hotel. And I'm like, where the fuck are you taking me for $17 a night?
And then I told him. And then I told him that it's okay that we'd never been to this hotel. It was okay that it was an old hotel because this was Bugsy's hotel.
This was Bugsy's hotel. Bugsy owned this hotel. He bought it with Meyer Lansky in 49. He bought this hotel. So this hotel's been, and this hotel was actually built in 46, the El Cortez. So those of you who come to Vegas and want to stay at the swanky, you know, Strip hotels, they're awesome. Come downtown, man.
And
this
also,
hotel's great.
The El Cortez is now part of the National Historic Registry.
It is. Look at that. That was your Vegas fact for the show.
The promotional material inside my hotel room told me.
I was promised no Vegas fun facts.
Well, too bad.
I was about to say same thing.
Vegas fun fact. You, my friend, are in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, Nevada. Not to be confused with any other Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, Texas. Ed, why do you come to Las Vegas? Why do you like Las Vegas? Because every time we invite you, you come. And I know it's got to be more of like, they invited me somewhere, like, you know, which is really sad. And I don't think that's the case.
Oh, God. Well, want to make that one a little bit more clear. Oh, we have this loser friend guy. Once in a while, we just kind of hang out.
Hey, I...
No. I'm just going to get a hard time. So, I already mentioned I love games, right? So, Vegas is full of games. So, that's pretty simple, right? Whether I'm playing, watching somebody else play, I still enjoy it. The other one is I love people watching. And I don't think there's a better place in the world to do people watching than Vegas.
It's
and
true. I mean, that's what Will just said.
Will just said, just
there's
walk
no
in.
Better
it doesn't
place
matter
in the world.
Where you are. Step down somewhere around Vegas. You're going to see some weird stuff. Just driving down, all the guys down on the street.
So I'm the only asshole who likes drinking, smoking, and naked women. Is that what it pretty much comes down to?
No, but you already covered it.
It's not so much that, my friend.
If we all repeat the same things you said, and it's kind of boring, right? So we're all going to come up at least with something different.
You don't bring me onto the show to say ditto, even if that's usually all I have to contribute.
Oh, no, I got that.
Damn right.
Just find a
some
way of saying what you said in a different way.
That works, too.
And also, I think that Las Vegas is the type of place that evokes a different response in people who can still see multiple women naked over the ones that have a wife.
That's true. She did tell me that going to a strip club, which we will be going to later this weekend, she did tell me that was a waste of money because she could just give me a lap dance for free. She has yet to give me a lap dance for free. I haven't asked, but...
Well, then.
I'm sure she'll do it if I ask nicely and do vacuum something, I'm sure.
I don't know if I've ever asked for or received. I would probably just laugh the whole time. She probably would, too.
You wouldn't make it a night. Like, it wouldn't be a thing. It would be just goofy and funny.
Yeah,
and
I don't know if any of us can actually put on, like, a character.
No. We were going through...
I can't even do it in D&D when you're supposed to.
We were going through, like, you know, we're cleaning out Dan's closet, and we found, like, khaki pants, a blue blazer, and, like, a blue and yellow striped tie. And my wife's looking at me. She's like, you could totally pull off, like, school ties, you know, like, schoolboy uniform for me. And be like, I could do that. Sure.
But this is Vegas, so honestly, you can wear whatever. You're still going to fit in somewhere.
I guess. I don't know. Depends on who you're hanging out with.
Ed, he was talking about debauchery in the bedroom.
But, you know, it could be the same thing.
Again, Vegas.
That's all you had was.
Said the word, yeah.
This is an audio medium, so you can't just be like Vegas, and I'm gonna make a face at you. You'll get it. You'll figure it out. It took Will a couple podcasts to figure it out. He's got it now. He does. This is episode.
Hey, wait.
This is episode 20. Everybody.
Where's our fifth member?
Our fifth. Oh crap, Ed, get up. There's a little Luke Skywalker figure in the box. Go grab that.
You tried to do the podcast
without
Mark Hamill.
I did try to do the podcast without Mark Hamill. So
you know how bitchy he gets when we don't take him out of the box.
Is that Mark Hamill in general or just the Mark Hamill figure?
Just the figure.
Okay. Yeah, no, grab Mark Hamill with his
The Mark Hamill, the Mark Hamill that I have heard so much of on podcasts would likely come on here and argue with you and me for an hour and a half about how we're wrong about comics in some way. And
so basically it's
go
you.
Into like DC early Silver Age to the point where it's like, I have no idea what issue you're even quoting now, Mark. That's how much he's into comics.
There you go. Well,
he's really into
comics. I believe it. You know, I was actually coming to Vegas every 6 weeks for about 2 years when I was dating my ex-girlfriend. We would just leave and come on up here and spend money we didn't have. Vegas every 6 weeks. We usually stayed at, like, the Luxor, Mandalay Bay, somewhere down there. Never got downtown.
So it just reminds me, my brother-in-law and his girlfriend have their yearly passes to Disneyland, and they go every couple of weeks, and they're just so goddamn sweet and wholesome. You guys were like the R-rated version of that.
Yes. We R-rated would be a very good way
to describe
that.
You had your yearly pass to Las Vegas.
Exactly, and we went every 6 weeks.
It's adult Disneyland, right?
It is. America's Playground. It really, really is. It really is. I love Las Vegas. I do. I'm very excited about this weekend. I really am. Only because, you know, there was a lot of talk about bringing you to the strip club, Ed. There was discussion because we've been to a strip club together, but we'd never brought you. And are you a strip club guy?
I've been once, and no, actually.
Okay, don't touch the strippers. Unless they ask you to.
That's a very, very good tip. I actually went the first time with a friend of mine during his bachelor party, and I found the experience fun, good, interesting, but at the same time, I
fun, good, and interesting.
Well, yes, because all those funny rules they have, right? San Diego has a little bit of different rules in different cities, from what I understand. So L.A. has different rules depending on what part of town you're going
and
to.
Apparently, Montreal has no rules.
No rules. Excuse me.
And that.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking to people at work, and the woman I work with is from Montreal, and she was just like, sweetie, I'm from Montreal. We don't have any rules. Don't worry. And I'm like, yeah, but you can't do that. Like, you can't touch the strippers. She's like, you sure? Because you could do that back in Canada. I'm like, yeah, not anymore. Maybe now in Canada, but not here. So nobody has anything. God, we haven't drank enough. That's the problem.
That's the problem. A rule where, like, the sign that says strippers has to be written in French twice as big as it's written in English.
That might be the rule.
Fucking frog canucks.
That might be. So, I mean, in going to the Olympics. So the last time we went to the Olympic Garden, I'm going to tell the story, Desmond. The last time we went to the Olympic Garden, Des met a stripper, and they had a little Facebook friendship, and they were texting each other. And then
we all met strippers. I just tried to keep mine for a little while.
You did try to keep yours, and then you stopped talking to her. Her name was Daytona, and you stopped talking. Why did you stop talking to her?
Well, because it was a very psychotic online relationship.
She was a stripper!
That was not healthy.
You don't want to date strippers. I dated a stripper, and they're nuts! No offense to the strippers that we have listening to our podcast.
If you're going
to
get
into it. Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's a ton.
Yeah.
I just picture all the strippers going through doing through their internet routine and being like, I'm going to check the local podcast, see if there's anything sort of geeky out of the San Diego area.
Let's see what's going on.
I have it on good authority. We're very popular with the strippers in Tulsa, Oklahoma. No, I'm just kidding. No, we're not.
Hey.
No, if you're going to have any type of psychotic relationship
strippers
with
are
a
psychotic.
Stripper, do it safely via the internet. You end up living longer.
The strippers are psychotic. So are you worried that we're going to see her?
Not especially, no.
$10 says if we do, she won't remember us. Like, she'll walk on by, she'll hang out with us because we look like a bunch of wholesome guys, and I'm not going to tell her.
I'm not taking that bet like one to one. If you want to throw me some odds, no. Well, maybe I'll take it.
What was that about the wholesome guys?
What wholesome?
But who's you're wholesome? Going to a strip club, right?
Yeah.
So
nobody said I was wholesome.
Well, you just said it, right?
Did I say it was wholesome? I thought I was talking about strippers and smoking.
I don't listen to any of you when you talk. I don't know.
Yeah, no. No, I'm not too concerned. I'll be shocked if I make it to the strip club.
No, you're coming.
Yeah, he keeps downplaying this like he's going
to
bail.
You're coming.
On us.
Well, you're not bailing on
what
us.
What would you do instead?
Probably play for a little while and then rest.
No. We're going to get done with we're going to get done with golf about like 2. We're going to be back here by 4 after we have dinner, and then the limo's not picking us up till 9. That's an hour to get ready and rest and then blackjack for 4 hours.
Yes,
that's what that is.
We'll see. You have to remember I do have a medical condition right now that means I have little or no energy, and you all are asking me to do like 16 or 18 hours worth of stuff in one day. I have not done that since last Comic-Con, and last Comic-Con, it didn't go so well, did it?
I don't know what happened. You couldn't walk after a while.
Yeah, I was just exhausted. It's the price you pay when you have a disease that basically makes it so that you don't have a metabolism.
We're sad for Dennis.
More Red Bull.
Look, if I can't more go Red to the Bull. Strip club, you just take Mark Hamill with you.
I don't think Mark Hamill would be good. Although he does have a Peter Dinklage kind of look, so that may end up playing in our favor.
And did you see he had a Playboy interview this week?
Peter Dinklage?
Yeah.
Not a Playboy spread.
No.
That would be a Play Girl spread.
And probably not even then. Poor Dinklage. I only know. I no reason to actually get Playboy in this modern day of the internet, but there was an article up on Yahoo about his apparently unknowingly dissing Brangelina when he won his Emmy for playing Tyrion. They were trying to reach out and shake his hand, and he apparently didn't notice and blew them off completely, and he had his friends telling him afterwards. But the spread that they were showing along with the article was a photo from the Playboy spread where they have some scantily clad women hanging around him in a very, I don't know if it's Game of Thrones or ancient Greek, just some sort of old-timey setting.
Old, okay.
Yeah.
Like old-timey Western or old-timey?
No,
like,
old, like really old-timey.
Like the Iron Age.
Yes, yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. I'm dropping stuff.
Before my time. Anything before my time is old-timey.
There you go. There you go. All right, first time you came to Vegas, when was it? Don't everybody jump up at once.
Oh, mine was the worst.
Why was yours the worst? Oh, I got one.
Oh, jeez. I think my first trip to Vegas, mm-hmm. it was the Little League thing I was mentioning earlier. Not that I play Little League, of course. We had a friend whose kid was a pretty fantastic Little Leaguer and a very good high school player. And they came out. He played on the Travel Ball All-Star team. So they came out to Henderson to come play in a league where he was playing with Bryce Harper at the time, who was a little phenom. And so we came out for a few days to spend in Henderson with my wife's entire family and another family with the kid who played, and had to just go to games out in the heat. And then they went to go spend a couple of days here with lots of small children, including one in a stroller. And so it's a pack of roughly like 16 people trying to go from place to place and not doing anything. Because nobody's going to stop and play anywhere. Nobody's going to do anything fun. All they're doing is like sightseeing Vegas, walking from place to place as slow as humanly possible.
But didn't you guys stay at the Imperial Palace, you and Rachel, with the mirrors on the ceiling?
No, that was the it was the Tropicana. And yes, that's a good story. Thank you for bringing that one up because the rest of the story is boring. Yeah, we we're staying at the Tropicana at the time, and her parents have the room right next to ours. And like I said, the whole thing was like, it's coming to Vegas, seeing what you could be doing in Vegas, and then not doing
anything.
And
then not
any
doing
of
any of
it.
Oh.
And so you're there, and yeah, the only positive point in the whole thing is coming in and having that fantastically awkward moment when her dad walks us into the room, looks up, and sees that our room has a giant mirror on the ceiling.
That's fabulous.
And that awesome. It's just this fantastically awkward moment.
That's fabulous. Because on one point, you know, you're like, well, they're going to be in a room together. They're probably going to use it. But they're staying right next door, so maybe they won't. There's that just moment of,
yeah,
which
you have
you're having sex with my daughter.
You have that exact same moment. She wasn't the wife at the time, the girlfriend. Having that moment with her of my parents are next door.
just be real quiet. That's all you got to do. Just be real quiet. I don't know if Rachel's loud. I don't care. That's your thing, but, you know, just be real quiet.
There you go.
Des, when was your first time coming to Vegas?
If you want to know about my first time coming to Vegas, you have to see episode 7 of Movies of a Geek, DC versus Marvel. We already talked about
it. We did. That's right. You came with your grandfather.
No. We're like Marvel Comics now. They have to go back and listen to that episode.
Go listen to that
episode. If they
want to
hear that story.
All right,
fine. How do you fuckers remember the exact episodes by number?
Because we're both checking the website daily to see our hit count go up.
Well, that and DC versus Marvel is our most successful episode.
It really is, and I don't know why. I know it's DC versus Marvel.
Because of the content?
All of our content is good, Ed. What are you saying?
I'm saying...
Did you hate my podcast?
No.
There you go. Okay. See, you can't do that. You can't, like, give a look because this is an audio medium.
I realize that, but I'm just... never mind.
Ed just gave me a look. Okay, when was your first time to Vegas, my friend?
Sadly, it was pretty boring because
how was everybody's first time boring? This sucks.
There must be something weird about it, but yeah.
You just make something
it's,
up.
Well, no, it's like the first time you have sex. Like, well, I'm having sex, and that's awesome, but...
What?
But you probably don't have an awesome story.
You probably don't have an awesome... Yeah, losing your virginity sucks. Yeah. Anyway.
There were these space giraffes, and they had laser claws.
Now,
oh, man.
All right, you were 17.
No, I was 17, so I couldn't really do anything.
There's no way you had fun in Vegas at 17. There's no way.
You know, that's one that's bad thing, right? But then, unfortunately, there's parents along with me as well, and then there's a slightly extended family as well, so we're doing the whole walking around Vegas. They want to play. They can't really do anything because I'm there. I'm too old to just leave me in the room and just hang out by yourself. So
at 17, being left in a room, there's porn in there. You could figure something out.
Oh, yeah, but they
I'd also like
let
to
me by myself.
I'd like to make
to be
the case that you can't leave Ed by himself alone in a hotel room without bad things happening now.
That is a good point. That is well taken. But yeah, so
Ed,
it
the
was
bad things just
happened
to you.
Did they like just drop you off at the game where down the street and you like they gave you like $20 to go play skee ball or?
I could totally geek out doing things like that, but just wouldn't do that to me. So basically, walked around Vegas, had good food, and just walked around, really, honestly. That was about it.
I make fun,
and
but that's
stayed
what my
a shitty
parents
hotel
did to me.
Too.
Oh, me too.
And my parents weren't cool enough to go to Las Vegas. They really just wanted to come.
Laughlin?
And, like, they went to Laughlin.
Laughlin, yep.
Because at the time, we didn't have all the casinos out in San Diego. It really wasn't anything in Arizona. Like, Laughlin was the closest place to go get your slots on.
There you go.
And so they would drag, like, 12-year-old me along, and then just, like, drop me off. Like nowadays, parents would never drop off, like, their, like, 10 or 12-year-old just, like, somewhere with some money and be like, go have fun. We'll see you in, like, 5 hours. Like, go have fun and don't talk to strangers, what have you. But, yeah, no, I just, like, rocked out the arcade and then would just go bug my dad every once in a while for another 20 and just maybe go away and give me another.
Yeah, that was your parents in Vegas. The first time I came to Vegas, I was 10. And we were flying back. We went and visited some family in New Jersey. And we were flying back. And my parents were the quintessential gamers. My father was a gambler, as my mother still is, till the day that he died. They actually, funny story about that. So they were going to Barona so much, they actually had not the regular player's card, but like, not even the gold one, but like the next one up, like the, not the
platinum players.
Yeah, like they were crazy. Those cards expire. I don't know if you know this, but though, at least at Barona, those cards have an expiration date. And when my father died at his funeral, you know, afterwards you could have a party. My mom wanted to put some memorabilia up, you know, that was my dad's. And I created a mix, you know, of my father's favorite music. And she wanted to put the platinum card up. And she gave it to me because I was setting everything up. And I'm looking at it. The expiration date on his platinum card was the day he died.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? I'm looking at it. I'm like, September 20, expires September 20. Hey! So, like, Barona knew, which was sad, but Barona knew that, that's real sad.
That's pretty messed up.
Isn't that messed up? That's totally messed up. So, anyway, so we came when we were 10, and we stayed at Circus Circus. And now that I know the geography, this makes a lot of sense, but we stayed at Circus Circus. We flew into McCarran, and you got to drive all the way down. And I remember the first time, you know, driving down the strip, and this is back in the day, the Dunes was still there, the Sands was still there, Sahara was clearly...
The Oasis was still there.
Exactly. So it was a very different, like, Las Vegas strip, and we came, and it was we had a great time. Mom and Dad did the same thing. I had to take care of my sister. And then, you know, we would play for a little bit, and then it was time to go to bed. They would just fucking leave us in the hotel room. And we would go to Vegas as a family twice a year. Other families went camping. My family came to Las Vegas, so I kind of grew up as the family vacation coming to Vegas. And so I really have, like, this place kind of feels like home to me. You know, like, a lot of people are like, oh, we always took the family vacation to Disneyland. No. Like, it really does.
Just
still
feel like
better
home
than
to
camping.
You.
Yeah, I love. This is why I love
there
Las
would
Vegas.
Need to be a copy of Gauntlet in every single casino.
Like the video game gauntlet?
The video game. You're going to tell
that
me
that was a badass video game.
That really
at
was.
10, that's what I when, yeah. I, when I came to Vegas between 10 and 16, that's what I did. I, for the most part, I played Gauntlet. I tried new games, of course, but Gauntlet was always the...
It was always the...
It was the social game.
It was.
See, I thought sports were cool, so I played that that baseball game where it paid out in like common baseball cards.
I remember that. Yes.
You remember that
I
crazy
remember
thing?
That. I
is that technically gambling still?
What?
No. I'm putting money in, and I'm getting something. That was my mom always, because my dad was the one who loved playing slots and Keno and bullshit like that. My mom just kind of came along and played like the nickel machine so as to minimize the damage. And my mom's take on it was always, you know, she put the money into the machine and watched the wheels spin around and got nothing at the end of it. At least I got to play a video game. And I thought that actually made a lot of sense.
That does.
I'm getting Dez ice. I'm sorry. I'm not keeping
now. Do you have
going.
More on Vegas, Dan, or should we just move on to our normal geek style?
No, concept? I mean, I'm thinking we guys should tell some Vegas stories and just talking about. I mean, we can talk about various geek stuff. Do you have a topic you would like to cover, Desmond?
Not off the top of my head. This isn't my show.
Oh, okay. I got a topic, and we talked about this in the car. Who saw the Man of Steel trailer? The Man of Steel trailer, the final one came out this week. Now we're going to switch away from Vegas, which I'm sure we'll keep talking about a little bit. Go on to some more geek stuff. Did anybody see the final Man of Steel trailer?
No.
Is anybody besides me, like, orgasming over this movie?
No.
Shit, I am so...
Absolutely not.
Okay, so here's the thing. We've made fun of Man of Steel on this podcast several times because, as you know, and I gotta throw Dez a bone here. It does look like emo Superman. I mean, it does look like he's like, I'm tortured, and, you know, I think you said listening to some emo, like, you know, Ben Folds and trying to cut himself. The new trailer...
Ben Folds isn't emo.
The new trailer...
Fall Out Boy,
that's what it was. The new trailer goes away from that, and it looks like what...
No, I'd pay to see a Ben Folds Superman. If it was the Ben Folds that was playing when I was in college, and every song was Ben Folds screaming something into the microphone
while rocking the piano,
I would like totally see that Superman. But also, to be honest, about Man of Steel, we make fun of it.
You're
Dan,
an asshole.
Because it's unnecessary. And I don't mean...
I think it's very necessary.
I'm glad they're continuing to make movies, but they act somehow like they haven't already made the definitive Superman. And I'm sorry, I think they did with Chris Reeves.
This is a new Superman for a new age. That was very Silver Age Superman, and this is not. This is more New 52 Superman.
Dan, talk to me 10 years from now when they start remaking Batman, and tell me if this isn't how you feel about Christian Bale.
All right.
You know,
I'll take that bet.
You know, I mean, it's not...
Somebody write that down.
I'm glad they're making a new Superman.
I would hate
Superman Returns to be the last Superman movie made. There were a lot of good things about Superman Returns, but all in all, it was not a very good film.
I like Superman Returns. Fuck you.
I think they make superhero movies a lot like I play darts.
Badly?
They throw things and hope it hits.
But the track that they seem to be taking is like, okay, so you have your definitive Superman movie. It's the man from space and he's Superman, blah. This one, it seems like they're taking the track of if the greatest moment in human history will be the first contact when an alien race comes down and we realize we're not alone in the universe. But instead of, you know, celebrating that, you have Jonathan Kent, played by Kevin Costner, who's really realizing that even though this is the greatest moment in human history, this is still my son and I have to protect him, raising him with the Smallvillian values of you are going to bring hope to the world. It's very much All-Star Superman. Like, there is even a direct quote that Jor-El has in the trailer that is ripped from All-Star Superman. The whole, they will stumble, they will follow you, and then they will rise to you in the sun. That whole panel is actually in the movie.
Look, there's nothing wrong with... I'm sure the movie Zack Snyder made is good. I'm not saying it's going to be an awful movie. Far from it. I don't feel the hype you feel for it because I don't honestly feel that Henry Cavill. He may be a wonderful Superman, but there's no way he can do Clark Kent the way Christopher Reeves and Clark Kent.
I don't necessarily, like, we haven't seen a Clark Kent in this. We see him with the beard. We see him, and Amy Adams' Lois Lane has a quote in the trailer about how we know that there's somebody out there. We know that there's rumors of somebody doing superhuman feats to save people. We don't know anything about him, and he's under the radar. So her whole track is, instead of Superman appearing, is trying to figure out who this guy is, which really makes sense in an investigative journalism standpoint in a modern age.
Yes, indeed. And so my thing is, Dan, I'm hoping the movie does well. I'm hoping the movie's very enjoyable. I just don't feel the same type of enthusiasm that I'd feel for anything that hasn't been made yet.
I'm excited.
Does that make sense?
I think if DC goes down this track with their superhero films, it's going to be a totally different way than Marvel does it. It's going to be a more mature, more introspective, more adult comic book movie. I'm very excited.
You're probably right.
Wait,
I did not see that trailer, though.
Oh, well, adult comic book movie?
Yes, a more adult comic book movie. Somebody's trying to text me.
That makes sense to me.
And what do you think? I mean, you've seen the Superman movies. What do you think?
I've seen the first preview. There was a while ago, and I actually tend to agree with Dez on the emo thing. It's like, oh my god!
Of course,
because
the first trailers were very emo.
And I have no idea what to expect, honestly. But I'm actually your perfect audience because when I go to movies, I actually get very much engrossed in the whole thing, and I the movie actually does its job most of the time, whereas it takes me away from reality. So I get involved very much with the story. So if it's a good one, I can tell you it's a good movie from my perspective because I was able to forget about everything else and I was just pretty much focused on the movie. As far as Superman itself goes, honestly, to me, the very first Supermans that were made were the first superhero movies that I've seen. So for my adult life, I remember those as being the comic book movies. So to me, that one kind of becomes the standard, whether it's better or not that the new ones, to me, those are always going to be the best ones because they were the first ones in a way, if that makes any sort of sense.
Well, let me ask you this, because we've covered this extensively on the podcast. Do you feel that Superman as a character doesn't work anymore?
No.
He's too moralistic. He's too much of a Boy Scout. He can't be killed. And how do you deal with that?
I don't have a problem with it because, in a way, if we have all these discussions nowadays about morality and so on, how everybody needs to loosen up, Superman is something that we're all told that we have to try to strive for, right?
Exactly. That's why I love Superman.
It's a myth movie, basically, without trying to make it like, hey, here's the man coming down telling this is what you got to do. This is the one guy who does something everybody seems to love. Everybody cheers for him. And the only people who are not in agreement with him are basically the villains, right? So it's the one thing that we all want to do, but we realize we can't because we're not built the way he is. That's the reason you have the whole myth thing. But this is something we all should be trying to do. So in a way,
we
I think
it's... We have to achieve his lofty ideals. It makes us better human beings.
In a way, it's trying to teach that moral story without basically trying to tell you, oh, this is what you should be doing. So in a way, I want to say that it's a modern response to religion in a way, but kind of light-handed.
I like you on the podcast.
Yes, but Dan, you're also acting like I've said in the past that Superman is a dead character. I haven't said that.
No, but you don't understand.
DC is utterly unwilling to treat Superman in the way they need to treat him to inject new ideas into the mythos. And I'll give you a perfect example. Injustice.
The
backup storyline that sets up the game. They come up with this elaborate situation where Joker gets the best of Superman and Superman inadvertently kills Lois and his baby. That's fine, but that's a really boring story. How about doing something more interesting, Dan, and actually altering Superman a bit? What if it's something like Boston? Okay, there's a terrorist attack. Can Superman be everywhere on the planet at once?
Gotcha. We're good.
Right?
Okay,
he can't really save everyone. There will always be kids who die somewhere. So why not have Superman come to the conclusion that the only way he can protect the people of this planet is by taking freedom from them? He gives them freedom. That's what allows them to kill each other. If they don't have that freedom, then we have no mass killings. Then we have no mass shootings. We have none of this stuff. But DC's unwilling, even in a hypothetical situation like Injustice, to treat Superman in that way. It's not the character that's the problem. It's the reverence with which the DC treats the character. If you look at Batman, Batman's probably the most successful DC character. You agree with that?
I would agree. I'm worried they're oversaturating Batman.
Oh, no, they are. I'm not arguing that point. But he sells better than Superman. But they're willing to let writers take real chances with him. They're willing to let Grant Morrison completely redefine the Batman mythos and create a Robin who he intended to kill after three issues and was never supposed to be Robin. And 5 or 6 years later, when he's done on Batman, he's like, well, fuck it, I'm killing him now.
Yeah, I mean, they let him do it. Yeah, which is good.
They need to let people do that in Superman. I'm not saying they're completely boring. They let Grant Morrison do things like All-Star Superman. But maybe for a movie, they really do. Even Injustice, give him a reason for doing something that doesn't have to do with, oh, I guess the Joker's smarter than me.
Well, okay, you take that concept and you can expand on it. I mean, Injustice is just really the backstory for the game, but you really can take that concept and explore it. And the concept that you can explore is, and somebody brought this up on Reddit, that with a lot of other superheroes, there's the fear of death because, you know, they're mostly human. Superman, you can't kill. In Superman, the drama and the conflict comes from his fear of failure. And Injustice, what Injustice does is it starts to explore that. Like, if Superman does fail, does he fall off the wagon and become Batman with a Superman, you know, with superpowers? And I think that's interesting.
No, I think the story of Injustice is fine. The reason he gets there is the mistake. They treat... Here's a good example. Are you reading Age of Ultron?
No. Like Voltron, the old anime lions?
No, Ultron.
Ultron. I thought you said Voltron. I was like, what are we talking about?
Ultron, the artificial intelligence created by Hank Pym in Marvel Universe.
I'm not reading
that.
They
now have a massive storyline where Ultron comes back.
And I am just drunk enough to watch myself in the mirror podcasting. Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, you're very vain. But...
I think this podcast is about me.
They're doing
you flexing into the mirror at the same time? Yeah!
All right, back from insanity and to my point.
Dan they're just doing went Hulk on all of
back
them.
From they're the doing land of a Dan. Massive storyline.
The land of Dan is where this podcast exists, my friend. This is where we go.
We've gone full beast mode.
would you all like to let me talk?
No, you don't ever let me talk.
Well, when I cut you off, Dan, it's usually because you're blathering about something uninteresting. But
okay. Anyway, go on.
You love me, you know you do.
I do, but
the
I don't
problem
love you.
Is that so you need to know about Age of Ultron only that there's a massive new Avengers storyline called Age of Ultron,
but not Age of Voltron. Age
no,
of Ultron.
Age
okay.
of Ultron. I may have said Age of Voltron because we've been drinking, but the problem is that you know how Marvel treated Captain America with like reverence for so many years.
Yes.
They wouldn't let people push him. That's where DC is with Superman.
So you think DC needs to push... And we've actually had this discussion. You think DC needs to push
even
Superman.
Even though I think DC is kicking the shit out of Marvel currently. Which is
they are.
There's a lot more DC books I like reading every month than Marvel books.
This is a true story.
Marvel knows they need to push their boundaries. What is the defining characteristic of Captain America?
That he's good and wholesome and...
He's the leader. He's got the plan.
Yes.
In Age of Voltron, now that I'm saying Voltron. But
see what I did there?
You did. You ruined the whole podcast. But in that storyline, the most shocking thing to me, although I'm not necessarily really digging the storyline, is that Hawkeye goes out and saves Spider-Man and then brings him back to the hideout. And everyone's like, we told you if you left, you couldn't come back. Blah, 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 blah. And all the Avengers... Tony Stark and everyone else is just kind of sitting around.
Screw your microphone in.
And
they're
just sitting around. They're not doing anything. And
good production.
Spider-Man goes, "Why are you not doing anything?" And we're waiting for him to come up with a plan. And the final frame of that book is Captain America huddled in a corner, like in a fetal position, kind of like, you know, like not like bent over on the ground, but bent over like vertically. Completely unable to think. Like, the catastrophe is so bad that Captain America
can't figure out what to do.
Doesn't have a plan. That's pushing the envelope with that character. You're taking the defining characteristic of that character, and you're turning it against him. That's what DC needs to be willing to do with Superman. I don't mean you do it every goddamn month, but you can't be like,
but you, can
you can't change Superman. He's Superman.
You can definitely do a run with that concept.
A good author can do a couple years with that concept. Superman is really boring at current. Because they're treating him with a lot of reverence. He's being mistreated. I think that if you anyone out there who really wants to see how the New 52 has really done a good thing overall for DC in almost every book, although I don't like every book, go read Brian Azzaro's, or whatever his goddamn Italian name is, Wonder Woman.
Goddamn Italians.
Because I friggin' know there's nothing wrong with Italians. His name's just hard to friggin' pronounce. But
deport them all, I say.
Can you agree?
Hi, honey.
Wait, pause for a second. Not only did you insult all Italians, you insulted your wife and her entire family. I am very impressed.
I aim to please.
There you go. Okay.
Does Rachel listen to the podcast?
I don't think so, because I think I'd be in a lot more trouble if she did.
Oh, I know I would be in trouble if my wife listened. My wife will not, although she might listen to this one only because she's going to be curious what we got up to when we were in Las Vegas.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But back to my point, you can agree that I absolutely loathe Wonder Woman as a character.
Yes, you do. Yes.
I just think she's boring. She doesn't have a good reason
for being a superhero.
I concur too. I have no idea what the hell is up with Wonder Woman.
And go friggin' go read that book. That book is good. That's what the New 52 has done for DC. You need to be willing to go, it doesn't matter that people have done 50 years of shit with these characters. We need to be willing to tell new and interesting stories. And if that means allowing the character not to be some kind of like untouchable deity, which is how they treat fucking Superman. Right? Like, heaven forbid you have a different idea. If you do, you end up in something like All-Star Superman, which is not in continuity.
Well, they're all Elseworlds comics. That's the problem.
Exactly.
You know what? I'm going to agree with you on that. I love Superman, but if you have you want to do something different with him, they put you into Elseworlds, or they make you create a new character in, like, Vertigo Universe.
Yeah.
Like, they're, you can't touch Superman. And DC is, I don't want to say ruining the character, because the character is pretty fucking awesome. However, you can't keep if you keep the same thing over and over again, you end up losing what makes the character great. Take the character, put him in a situation where he can't do what he normally does, and then you have a story. You know, your comfort zone is the circle in front of your face, and you know, you want to write all the way up above your head. That's what's going to make the Superman book
basically
great.
What I'm saying is the group editor of Superman needs to go and watch the entire run of Lois and Clark. Whether you like Lois and Clark or you hate Lois and Clark, the difference between Lois and Clark and everything else Superman is that it's not really fucking about Superman.
Fair enough.
It's about Clark. And Clark is the way that people connect with the story, not with Superman, with Clark.
Well,
and somehow DC's forgotten that.
All right, Ed, what's your point?
Well, I was going to say, well, Clark is the human part of it. But the part that I find interesting, because you're talking about Superman, nobody's touching him, he's the God figure. Could it be because he's basically predictable, because everybody knows exactly what Superman is supposed to be doing? And it's always, I'm not going to say always, but usually it's very black and white type of situation. So there's no real question as what's considered to be your moral choice and what's not. So then if you don't have any sort of situations where you have a lot of gray area where you cannot make a clear-cut move, then he's always going to be the same guy. So it becomes boring because it's always repeating the same thing over and over and over again.
Fair enough. I think that's kind of Dez's point. You're right. Take him out of his comfort zone.
Well,
and maybe the movie will do that. Bringing it back to what we were talking about originally. Maybe the movie will do that.
Well, like I said, I hope the movie's really good. The problem the movie suffers from, it's kind of like, I really feel bad for anyone who's forced to reboot Batman anytime soon for a couple of reasons. I think Christian Bale will
probably...
have to
do it, though, for Justice League.
No, but I think Bruce... I'll
just get Bale back.
That Christian Bale will go down as the definitive Batman.
You think that he's going to come back to do another...
Do
you think?
Truck of money.
Oh, I think that you can keep going with Bale.
Money talks.
But I mean, eventually, even if you don't, eventually they're going to reboot it, right? They're going to use a new actor.
They're going to have to, yeah.
And I think Batman may be a little played out, only the fact that I think Val Kilmer is the definitive Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that Christian Bale is the definitive Batman, and I think it's really hard. I think the only way that Man of Steel has a chance is that while Christopher Reeve is kind of the definitive Clark for all of us, he's not necessarily the definitive Superman.
Yeah.
So Henry Cavill can maybe be that Superman, and I'm hopeful he can. But the thing I've noticed about the trailers is there's nothing about him. There's pictures of him and other people talking and pictures of him doing things, but there's no him being Superman. So he may be brilliant. I'm hopeful. I'm just not as enthusiastic as you are.
I'm just enthusiastic because I'm excited about a new Superman movie.
I'm sure he'll stop a train or leap higher than the tallest building.
There you
something
go.
Along those
there you
lines.
Go. Really, my geek topics for this week, because I went and looked at all of the new trailers that are coming up. And
well, there's some other things. How do people feel about a blue-skinned, red, mohawked Michael Rourke? Is it Michael Rourke or what's his
Jamie
name?
Jamie Foxx?
No, the guy from Walking Dead.
Oh, yes. Okay,
the new
Spider-Man movie. Jamie Foxx is playing Electro, and they actually had the makeup shot.
Yeah,
I did see that, and he looks pasty.
It just looked
like
Jamie Foxx painted blue with some veins.
But still,
blue
is
weird.
It's
since when is Electro fucking blue?
Well, that's his thing. Is I think what they're doing with Amazing Spider-Man. Now, Ed, did you see the newest Spider-Man movie?
Which one?
The one with Andrew Garfield, where it was actually a better Spider-Man movie than Tobey.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
More importantly, Emma Stone.
Sadly, I don't
However,
think so. I think it was traveling.
Emma Stone was a blonde, which I like Emma Stone better as a redhead.
I think the world likes her better as a redhead.
I know, but I like redheads.
Or a brunette.
So.
I know you do.
Or any color other than blonde.
I mentioned to my wife about, you had talked about Isla Fisher being hot, and she was surprised. She was like, Billy likes the redheads? And I'm like, yes, Billy likes that. I like the redheads.
Yeah. Although, you
we
know what?
We all love the redheads.
Thank you, Ed. We all love the redheads.
On a brief little side note, I'm just drunk enough to admit this. I personally found the whole grabbing her with the web shooter and pulling her in far more romantic than the silly upside down kiss.
I totally agree. That the Amazing Spider-Man movie with Andrew Garfield, the newest one, if you haven't seen it, it's I think it's a better Spider-Man movie because it's Tobey Maguire
was Ditko
emo.
Spider-Man.
Exactly. He was emo, and this is the Ditko Spider-Man, and he's a little bit emo, but he's funny. He's got the quips that Spider-Man usually has. And I think what they're doing is they're trying to ground Spider-Man in more of a reality like they did with the Nolan Batman movies. And so Electro isn't going to be Electro in his costume. He's going to be Jimmy Fox painted blue with veins.
I think you have to put it all in context. The Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans were great.
I'm not saying they weren't.
Spider-Man set in the Bryan Singer X-Men world. And since then, the Marvel Entertainment Universe
has changed. It's very much changed.
The Andrew Garfield one very much fits the Iron Man. He could very easily put Spider-Man in the Avengers in that world, and he'd fit.
Yes. The Tobey Maguire would not fit. Andrew Garfield would.
I totally agree with you on that.
That
fits with X1-3.
How much time we got?
About 15 minutes.
15 minutes. Anybody see Catching Fire trailer?
I saw it.
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
Yes, I liked it.
Really?
I liked it only because I love those books.
I'm not so sure about the change.
Most people I had heard
I love those
really
books.
Liked the first book, maybe liked the last book. Didn't really like the second one.
I like the second one. The last book took Katniss out of the arena, and the second book puts everybody back into the arena, okay. But it's a heightened problem, and I like that. We've taken the stakes, we've raised the stakes. The third book is really like a war story. It really is. At the end of the day, it's a war movie.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the problem with the series in general, the books, is the first book is, look how horrible this system is. Blah, blah, blah. Humans are awful. We should rebel. Book two is, oh my God, look, there's a light at the tunnel. Not everyone in the world sucks. And then book three comes along and is, no, everybody sucks. You just got to get to know them. That's the problem with the book series. It leaves a very unfulfilling kind of ending. In the fact that...
No, I thought the ending was fine. It was unexpected because I didn't think it was going to end the way it ended.
I meant the fact that even the rebel government, Dan, ends up being almost as corrupt as the other.
Oh, completely. Government. And Katniss sees
spoiler
that.
Spoiler alert.
No, a huge
That's
spoiler,
not a spoiler
alert. Huge spoiler alert.
Well, I guess the regular government got knocked out. Anyway.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that there's a rival faction, and Katniss ends up working for them, and they're just not...
I was
They're
say,
not any better than the other
non-corrupt
government,
really.
Just like all governments.
There you go. Ed is a Republican friend. So.
No, I am not.
You Republican?
I get.
Have you switched to Libertarian?
Accused of that all
the
time
because you're conservative.
No,
you are.
No, in my thinking, in my mode of approaching.
In
things,
your thinking thoughts?
Yes. No.
Ed is one of those people who would be a Republican if the Republican Party was not being run by crazy people right now.
Probably, but Libertarian is probably the close. Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Since, I don't know, the 30s?
Lincoln was pretty
damn
cool.
Oh, the 30s.
Cool.
Well, that's why
say.
I'm trying to define it. I'm trying to account for the polarity shift.
Okay, there you go.
I want to know what Dan, you saw the trailer for Catching Fire?
I did.
What did you think of the massive change?
Which massive change are you referring to?
Donald Sutherland's lines of her species needs to be eradicated. What species? The Victors. That's not in the friggin' book.
No, it's not in the friggin' book. However... Just like they did in the first movie, because the book is all in Katniss's head, they have to do the exposition in a different way, and that's exposition.
I don't know if that's exposition.
It is exposition, because the whole idea that it was always an underlying concept in the second book that the reason they did the 75th Hunger Games with the, you know, quarter quell...
Was to kill her.
Everybody. Yeah, but that entire thing was to kill every single victor. Like, that, there was an underlying theme there, but we don't see it because we're in Katniss's head. How do you get that in a movie? You have to have that scene.
Looks like they're in a shootout with the remaining Boston suspect.
Of course.
This will broadcast in several weeks, so you'll have an outcome. But right now, it sounds like
this will be up on Monday, probably.
It looks like they're in a shootout with him.
So, you know what? And I got to...
I don't consider myself a fairly evil person, but I kind of hope he dies.
You know, I got to throw that out there. The third week of April...
Yeah, I kind of want him to bring somebody in so I find out why the hell they did.
Yeah,
well, here's
say,
my thought.
I'm
taking suspects like this in custody, safe and sound, and finding out what their motivations are until they start shooting at cops in addition to the people they've already hurt.
You know what?
I'm just flipping through the news on my phone. Their father says they've been framed.
Before we say anything else, I got to say this. This is the first podcast we've had since all of this happened. And our hearts actually do go out to Musings of a Geek. The hearts do go out to, you know, to Boston and to Texas this week, who, you know, some shitty things have gone on. And I think we need to take a moment and just, you know, we're glad that we're here. We're celebrating in Vegas. We're having a great week. But
however,
shit went down this week. And, you know, you are in our thoughts. So,
however, shit goes down every single week. So we're not going to allow that to dominate the podcast.
I'm not saying it was. I'm just throwing that
no,
out there.
No, I know. I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying. I mean, okay, we've said it. Let's move on.
Oh, Des, I'm glad you're not mad at me.
The other random, more lighthearted nonsense off of my phone, supposedly.
Musings of Will's phone.
Musings of Will's phone.
Next
is Dan with the numbers.
That's right. Folks have reached out to Seth MacFarlane about hosting next year's Oscars.
Really?
Again?
Hell is frozen over.
Hell has frozen
again?
Over.
Even people who like Seth MacFarlane would think that was a bad
idea. I was in Napa Valley during the Oscars, and I missed that whole thing.
It's so cold lately, huh?
I missed that whole thing. I don't know if you know that. I went to Napa with my wife during the Oscars, and we missed the entire... We saw the fall that... what's her name did when she went up and got...
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes, we saw her fall, but that was about it. We missed the entire Oscars. So I've heard that Seth MacFarlane did an okay job, I think, while you were there.
It's unfair to blame Seth MacFarlane. As if he's the entire creative personnel of the show. It was a bad broadcast. There are many people responsible for its badness.
I'm trying to figure out what the follow-up would be to the We Saw Your Boobs song.
Your vagina.
We saw your cock.
Which is going to be
Harvey
all...
Harvey Keitel.
Yeah, well, we saw your cock. But We Saw Your Vagina. That was pretty much Game of Thrones this week. Yeah, it was. There was Tyrion...
Isn't that Game of Thrones? I'm gonna
spoil this. Tyrion gets podcast three whores. Because
I've seen episode three.
You've seen, yeah. Okay. So Podrick's got the three whores, and you know they usually do the boob shot, but they rarely do the vag shot. And there was naked women, and there was vagina, and I was like, there's vagina on the show.
Apparently, he was so badass they wouldn't take his money.
Yeah, because Podrick is the man. Poor Tyrion, he always gets charged for the whores.
Aww.
I've never been to a prostitute, so I would probably be charged on, you know, I'm just saying, you know. They got a job to do, you know.
There's a very specific reason that Pod was free and Tyrion is not. And that's that Tyrion's a man and knows what he's paying for from the prostitutes.
And Podcast is a young, innocent boy.
Podcast? You
so are we saying
him Podcast?
And you wouldn't do their taxes for free and they...
So are we saying if we buy Ed a prostitute, they won't charge him? Because Ed looks like a nice, innocent young man.
No.
What?
Are
you a nice, innocent young man, Ed?
No.
Good. You get it done. I'm happy to hear that.
A 16-year-old boy, or in the case of the book, I think he's supposed to be 14,
he's
right?
Like, yeah, he's young.
He's
everybody is younger in the book than they are in the television show.
Yeah, yeah. But they understand, you know, that he's not going to think there's a relationship forming. With an older gentleman, you're paying the... prostitutes not to follow you home.
You're paying them to go home. Yeah, you're paying them to go home.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. So, I've never frequented a prostitute. We've talked about that. Actually, I'm going to throw this out to Ed. We actually talked. There was an article that.
Yes, Ed, tell us about your history with prostitutes.
No.
Oh boy,
we already found out you're an arsonist and have done several field sobriety tests.
And
this week.
And you beat up gypsies.
And
randomly.
You beat up gypsies randomly, and apparently need a haircut. you know,
can we throw more
musings of driving through the desert?
This is Musings of Ed.
So apparently I'm driving too fast, but that's another story altogether.
You're not driving too fast. The scenery is moving by too quickly. It's really it's really the Earth's fault.
It's never my fault, exactly.
Fucking relativity.
Has anybody ever tried to use that defense? Like, no, the scenery was moving by too fast.
I tried. It doesn't work.
No.
See? That's something I would take. But seriously. So, Ed, we got into a discussion a few weeks back about there was an article that apparently – This woman posited that men who pay for sex are the norm. Have you ever paid for sex?
No, I have not.
I've never paid for sex. Do you know anybody who's paid for sex?
Yes, wait, I do.
You do? I don't know anybody who's paid for sex.
Can I ask one question first? Ed, if you had paid for sex, would you be honest with us on this podcast about having paid for sex?
I am
probably
too dumb
not.
To remember all the lies that I might actually make, so I'm usually pretty darn straight.
Ed, are you into the Russian bride thing? Do you think you're going to get a Russian bride at
hell
some point?
No.
I just got to throw that out there.
No, hell
just bring
no.
a little girl over from Romania.
No, I'm not.
And it would be his ward for a while. And then
by little girl, I mean diminutive, not young.
See, as messed up as that may sound, I'm actually
you raise
modern
her,
woman's
you raise her to
dream.
Love you and then to love you.
No. Honestly, from that perspective, actually, it would be the modern
woman's dream.
Well, have we finally gone to actually breaking the law in the podcast?
I'm not sure. Romanians, you speak Romanian, Ed?
I do.
That's a romance language. He doesn't have to buy anybody.
That's right.
He speaks a romance
language.
Enough
to French and
throw out
and
some Romanian.
Italian.
Come on, throw out some Romanian.
It's not fun.
No,
it's not interesting.
What are you talking about? It's a romance language. Woo the ladies who listen to the show.
It's kind of hard to do. Here, I'll give you
tell
a,
all our listeners in Romania
hold on.
Music that kicks ass in Romanian.
It does.
Just say it in Romanian.
No,
that is not
Romanian. It's amazingly short language.
See, that's the part that sucks really.
Da.
So, this all right, so check this out. Since this is a geeky show, I can explain why this would make absolutely no sense to you guys. Romanian is indeed a romance language because its root is Latin.
It's a Latin base, yes.
However, the last people to kind of trounce over there were Turks, and there's a fair number
fucking
of Russians kind of.
Now all the Turks won't
listen
to
my show.
Second
World War, right? So a lot of the words
fucking
that are
second
in
World
common
War.
Use
Nazis are like
I still
are
actually
of,
fuck them.
Of Slavic provenance. So they're either Turkish or Slavic. So therefore, if I were to say Music of Geek kicks ass in Romanian, it would be a lot of words that are actually closer to Slavic than Latin. So it would make absolutely no sense. So you wouldn't recognize it as French or Latin or Spanish or Italian.
I'm
so
learning
that's
too
the
much
makes
right
absolutely
now.
Absolutely no sense.
I'm pretty sure that this part of the podcast works better than sleeping aids to get people to go to sleep.
Exactly.
This is Musings of Linguistics. This is what it is, really.
You said geek.
Well, the fact that you just geeked out about language is kind of impressive. You're like, it's a Slavic race, but Slavic root.
Well,
blah, blah,
no,
blah, blah, blah.
I find this fascinating because people ask me like, oh, say something Romanian. They're like, oh, it sounds nothing like Spanish or nothing like one of the other languages they're familiar with. So that's the reason why.
You can't even say something Romanian for the podcast?
Oh, I can do that.
So do it!
I just got to translate, which is not... Here's the thing. I
think
in English.
I don't understand what's going on.
No. You don't understand because I think in English. I don't make the distinction. I've learned the language as
so
a
were
brand
you,
new
were
language.
Were you raised in English and then...
No, I was raised in Romania, but I
but you don't think
out,
in Romanian anymore?
No, I don't.
Really?
I've never done because I
that's
figured
crazy.
The best way to learn the language is actually not to translate because if you translate, things don't translate well ever. So if I have to do a translate job, I usually know. Do a bad job.
Put dollar bill in mouth. Put dollar bill in mouth. I mean, that was an Andy, my friend Andy,
like,
strip club story.
Hello, my name is Ed.
Yeah.
How does that go?
Donde está la biblioteca?
Yeah, like, something like that. Like
that's exactly how you say that in Spanish. So how do you say it in Romanian?
How do you say where is the library in Romanian?
Musings of the Geek. Yeah, cea mai bună podcast in lume.
There you go.
There
you
go. We have a buffer.
We have a buffer.
A buffer?
Isn't that what you call a bumper? A bumper.
A bumper.
Me.
Yes, that's
bumper.
Our bumper.
That's our new bumper in Romania.
There you go. In Romania.
That's terrible.
No, I'm going to cut
that
out.
Dramatically horrible.
I don't care.
That's
okay. It's going to be off.
Buffering
that's a bumper.
Is different.
Yeah, buffering is what you do
that's,
when you watch
that's
videos.
That's how long it takes for
this
me
is
to
what
watch
happens
my
when I drink. I become incoherent.
With the,
that's,
when
that's
you drink?
That's the joke with the guy.
Now in Romanian, apparently. Not in English, which is odd.
The guy who's having sex with his girlfriend, he's just sitting really, really still, and she says, what are you doing? Like, it's like a sex move. I'm buffering.
That is terribly
wow.
geeky.
That's wow.
horrible.
That's from the people who remember porn in the day.
Back in the day, porn.
No.
Back
no.
in the day, like
no,
last
no, no, no.
year.
Back, yeah.
Really bad BBS days. 8-bit naked
eight,
pictures. 8-bit
porn.
Oh boy, black and white. 8-bit. Oh my god, I think that's a boob. You have to use your imagination.
Or
are
you thinking
a lot.
Of, like the scrambled? Like I don't have HBO, but it
kind of
comes in all
yeah,
scrambled.
No.
That
yes.
might be a boob. It might be an
we,
elbow.
We,
either way, on
yeah,
the
I was like 12, 13, 14. We had on. I don't know if you guys remember this on Cox Cable. They used to have like essentially it was pay per view, but it only started like at midnight. So they had like two or three movies, and it always came through scrambled. And I remember on the weekends, like I would stay up late to try to watch the scrambled. Like I think that's a boob.
It's like
and,
the audio kind of works.
Yeah,
but
so sad for you.
I know, and every once in a while, like, it would kind of, like a quarter of the screen would unscramble or, like, a half of the screen would unscramble. It was the best thing ever.
Moved to Germany after 10 p.m. They used to have shows where they would show at least boobs.
That's awesome.
Yes,
well,
it was.
They don't
Why?
Care.
I had Skinamax.
Nah, bringing it in. Bringing it in. Oh, Skinamax.
He had all sorts of bikini car wash movies.
Skinamax is not nearly as good now as it used to be.
Cinemax is only good when you're
15. Cinemax is still a channel, and they still have Cinemax After Dark, and it's, you know, it's softcore porn.
It's pointless.
It's nothing
but it's
compared
pointless.
To internet
it's
porn.
Nothing. It is nothing compared to internet porn. Back
the internet
in the day,
has ruined it for
back
all of
in the
us.
Day on Cinemax, you would get full frontal bush. You don't get that anymore. Like, they wouldn't show penetration.
Because
Bush
doesn't exist anymore in porn.
Bush, the idea of Bush has gone away. Forever for most women.
So I got
except in Game
this.
Of Thrones.
Well, the Merkins, my friend.
I got to share this with you guys because it was kind of fun because I was 9, 10 years old And
you're watching porn at 9?
19.
Wow. Well,
hey, he had to do something after
drunk.
He beat up the gypsies.
Go ahead, Ed.
So basically, it was beating up gypsies and watching porn at 9 years old. You're my hero, man. That's awesome.
The man, tell his story.
So, anyways, I was in Germany visiting somebody, and I told you they had shows after 10 p.m., right? But the number one show that was happening exactly at 10 p.m. was the equivalent of Wheel of Fortune.
Were there naked Wheel of Fortune?
Where the girls, when they would answer correctly...
They had to take off clothes?
They would take off their tops. So
that's my favorite game show ever.
I know. Isn't that great? And so
it's a watering mess. Dez is trying to get more alcohol. There's ice in there.
Oh.
It's fine. But no, like Japan has these weird naked sex game shows. Japan's weird though.
Eels.
We don't want to talk about Japan because I got to college.
Will's
and
not
people
here.
Were sending me links. And I was dumb enough to click on them, and I was...
No, don't click on that shit.
Yeah.
Will was gone, so I don't feel necessary someone make this point. They buy dirty panties out
panties
of
a vending
machine.
Yeah, this was worse.
Do I mention that a lot?
3 or 4 times so far.
Awesome.
This was worse, honestly. I just don't get it.
Awesome.
But I guess I'm not Japanese. So.
Well, you know, few are, actually. A lot of people are. Not as many as there are Chinese, but
there should
apparently.
Be a queue in there for I think I'm turning Japanese.
Say, did I tell you about the girl I knew who was briefly a internet porn model and the request that she would get from fans?
I don't believe so.
Ranging from pieces of hair to pee in a bottle and send it to me.
Oh, that's
these
weird.
Sorts of things.
That's weird.
So
yeah,
I like
and, how if you weren't creeped out doing your job before, I think that would do it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's that
oh
would,
boy.
Yeah, I agree, but I have to ask. How much does a bottle of urine cost?
I told her to have the cat do it.
So yeah, but then you got to follow around a cat all day.
So I like
you
how we move
that,
from
like, sick
geeky
fuckers
stuff.
Do
if
something.
You
porn.
Could actually get a cat to piss
porn's
in a dish,
idiot.
You'd be rich.
That is true.
You know
that
what? I doubt I would
true.
Be rich if I did that.
No, I think 90% of all kitty litter
Dude,
companies.
You would have so much karma on Reddit if you did that.
If I got a cat
to pee, yes, you would. I'm sure you would. You think they would give you a for that.
Is there like an r/kitty water sports that I have not like subscribed to?
I'm
that,
sure
like,
there
is. It's where all the fucking karma is on Reddit.
I'm sure there is.
Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Just when you have nothing better to do, just browse the alts.
Have Rachel do a topless karma for days. Karma for days. I'm just saying, karma for days. You know, maybe
yes.
I won't be interested in that, but somebody will give you karma for that.
Take advantage of your loving wife for karma on Reddit.
Isn't that what Reddit is for?
That's what a lot of people do. There's always like on Gone Wild, like, hey, my wife thinks her boobs look ugly.
The other day,
show
it was
her
like,
love.
It was a guy who seemed to try to pack as much karma into one picture as he physically could. He had two topless girls, a kitten. several bottles of alcohol and weed, just anything he could fit that he thought was worth some video game memorabilia.
The perfect karma picture.
He tried to put as much stuff into one physical picture as he could, and it worked.
Of course
it worked.
Obvious.
That's what Reddit's
so
for.
How's this different than all those stupid things on Facebook where it's have all these pictures about, hey, if you don't do this, if something bad's going to happen, give me like because we need to hit 2 million likes.
Ed, are you on Reddit? Do you go to Reddit at all?
No, I then used to a little
clearly
bit, but
don't understand.
Just ran out of time. That's my problem.
Yeah, he needs 4,000 upvotes so the kitten gets it.
See, and you'll get that's what you got to do. Get a kitten, get a gun, put the gun to the kitten's head, and say 4,000 upvotes so the kitten gets it. You'll get 4,000.
No,
they'll
no,
go
no.
on 4chan on
oh,
you.
Oh, they will. They really will. They'll figure
ass.
It out. Yes, that's right.
Easier.
Reddit doesn't usually do that. But
get the cat to shoot the gun.
That if you get
add
a cat
puppy.
To shoot, if. No, not at a puppy.
No.
Ed,
you don't get it, man.
Okay, is anyone else getting the feeling that sitting with Ed in this podcast, that we're
Ed
with,
just,
that
Ed
we're
just
with
wanted
Dexter?
To say kill puppies.
Are we with Dexter right now? Is
crap.
That what's happening?
Ed, why do you want to kill puppies? We're almost
I
done.
I don't
but
want
why,
to.
Why do you want to kill puppies now?
The narrative going on.
Well, the kitty
to
puppies.
What
what's the difference?
In
yeah.
At any
yeah.
given time.
Right. Any given time.
All right. We're at about an hour, and I'm
well,
really.
We have one more. We have one more topic.
We do. Okay. What is it?
We have the comic argument for this week. Have you given any thoughts?
I have not. I don't even remember what the question was.
If you could move any one superhero to Las Vegas, who would it be?
That's a great comic argument. Let me think. If I could move any one superhero to Las Vegas, who would it be? I am going to go with Nightwing. Because he's not Batman, But you could, he still has Batman-esque, and Las Vegas has a lot of cool tall buildings. I think that would be cool. And justice. Las Vegas needs justice.
That's your only criteria, the fact that there's tall buildings?
I go with Nightwing.
Aquaman, so that he would wander around going, fuck this place. This is bullshit.
Aquaman
would be going to the fucking Blasio
Fountain. I think
I'm going
to award that to Will.
I award 2 points to Will.
I agree. I award 2 points. That's a brilliant answer, my friend.
But no, I actually, at the end, I was trying to figure out where there was water, the Blasio Fountain.
That's where he'd live.
That's where
Blasio Fountain.
That's his
just
house.
Just spraying people and laughing at them. Because what the fuck else has he got to do?
That's right. Ed, what superhero did he move to Vegas?
That's a good one. Honestly, I like the contrast. So either the most wholesome or the most depraved.
So Superman or anything by Mark Millar?
Yeah.
Okay, pretty much. Were you awake in the car for the gang rape conversation that Des was talking about?
There was
what?
A conversation.
I awake in the car for that?
Yeah, I was talking about Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah.
Oh.
About how they can't possibly take the actual comic and make a movie out of it.
Yeah, I think I just had just woken up, so it was too disturbing to.
So basically, we've come to realize on this Musings of a Geek, gang rape is bad. So
gang rape is always bad.
The answer is we're going to bring Wonder Woman here because she's our favorite character here on Musings of a Geek.
There you go. All right, I think we're.
I don't get the answer.
What's your answer, Desmond?
There's only one right answer.
Of course, you're going to say
it's
that.
It's Des. It's always
going
to be the only one.
John Constantine.
I'm going to award you 3 points for that.
Are
you going to fist bump
anybody
for that?
Ever created
brilliant.
For fucking Las Vegas, Nevada,
John Constantine.
Other than
I
John
didn't
Constantine.
Even think of John Constantine. That is a brilliant
and
answer.
And he has his own book now.
Yes, he does.
Which
and
is
it's apparently
by
really good.
Jeff Lemire.
I've heard
who's
great things
writing
about it.
Justice League Dark, I believe. And I want to say he's doing Animal Man?
Probably, but I haven't liked the newest incarnations of Animal Man.
I love
it.
The whole red storyline and the green storyline and Swamp Thing. I don't like Scott Snyder's Swamp Thing as much as I like his Batman. I think his Batman's much more inventive. But of all the 52 stuff, those are the ones I'm, other than Wonder Woman, that I'm most shocked by.
All right.
Even fucking Aquaman, which I think is the best thing DC's putting out.
I still love your Constantine answer. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I'm not horribly shocked by Aquaman. I'm just shocked that anybody other than me realized that there was anything interesting to say with Aquaman.
I might give you 3 points for Constantine, my friend. And good job.
Sorry. Thank you.
All right, everybody, blackjack?
Yeah.
Blackjack?
Hells yeah.
Blackjack?
Yeah. Double attack. Yeah.
Regardless. All right, one last Vegas story before we finish up. So at the El Cortez Hotel, there is a great variant of blackjack called Double Attack Blackjack. Hopefully it's still here. Where essentially the dealer shows their face card, and you get to double your bet if you like their face card versus what you've been dealt. We play it every single time. First time we came with Dez, this is the $17 trip. There was a great dealer by the name of Michael.
Michael,
who hated us because we were drunk, and every single time he came back, we would scream, Michael!
When are we not drunk?
That's true. No, Des and I were wasted. And
well, he didn't like us, so we decided not to like him back.
Exactly. You don't like us, we don't like you. But basically, every time, because the dealer has to ask, double attack, and he's an Asian guy, and every single time it was double attack. It was great. We loved Michael. Michael was great. And that's this week's Musings of a Geek, live from the El Cortez in Las Vegas. I'd like to thank Ed for joining us on this podcast.
Yay.
Ed, would love to have you back at some point. And if there's nothing else, hopefully you guys have a great weekend.
I'd like to spend a moment thanking me.
Thank you. Why are we thanking
I'm
you?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, okay. And again,
no, I would like to stress to the audience to if you do any shopping through Amazon, do it through our banner.
Do it through our Amazon banner.
Also, if you have friends who like podcasts, by all means, please tell them about the show.
Definitely tell them about
the
show.
It makes us feel like we're loved when you guys actually listen and participate.
If you've got a topic for Musings of a Geek, you can email me, dan@musingsofageek.com, or you can catch us on iTunes or Stitcher or at the website musingsofageek.com, and I think that's us signing off. Have a great weekend. We're going to have a great weekend in Vegas, and stay geeky, my friends.
This has been a production of the Musings of a Geek Podcast Network.